Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews Podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to be talking about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. A new MCU movie. I'm always excited for these movies. That said, the first Doctor Strange movie was one of my least favorite movies in the MCU. Is this one going to be another one of those, or is this one going to fly over that? Well, let's get to the review.
Every night, I dream the same dream. And then... the nightmare begins.
Dr. Stephen Strange casts a forbidden spell that opens the doorway to the multiverse, including alternate versions of himself whom threaten humanity and whose threat is too great for the combined forces of Strange, Wong, and Wanda Maximoff.
I did what I had to do to protect our world.
You cannot control everything, Strange. You opened the doorway between universes, and we don't know who or what will walk through it.
Wanda, what do you know about the multiverse?
Viz had his theories. He believed it was dangerous.
Themes, messages, ideas, this is the part of the show where I'm going to talk about some of the thematic stuff that jumped out to me in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Now, I'm gonna touch on what I think is probably the main theme of the movie, what I think they were kind of trying to say with this movie, and then I'm gonna touch on some other stuff that popped up in this movie as well. So just the overall thing, it seems to kind of be, are you happy? And ultimately kind of learning to be content. Because Doctor Strange, he's kind of in this tough place at the beginning of the movie, and he's trying to kind of work through some things, and, you know, he's trying to figure out, okay, am I happy? How can I be happy? All this kind of stuff, and ultimately kind of learning to be content, which ultimately, yeah, I guess that's a fairly good message as far as that goes. I mean, in Philippians, you got Paul talking about learning to be content in all things, no matter the state that he's in. Now, that said, I don't think this theme is that interesting. I mean, it's definitely there in the movie. It's there at the beginning and at the end, and it's kind of a wrapping thing around this movie. That said, I don't think it's very interesting. I don't think it's dived into way too deeply, really. It's just kind of there to be the theme in the movie, almost. It's fine, ultimately, but it's not that interesting. So I'm gonna dive into a few other things in this movie. There is a character in here. There's some homosexuality going on in here. There is two, you know, there's a homosexual couple that shows up for a little bit in this movie, very briefly. And then there's another character that has a pin of the trans LGBT flag. She has a pin on her shirt of that. Even though it's not a ton in this movie, and overall it's you know, a few seconds of screen time or something, it's not a lot of screen time at all that this stuff is on the screen. It is there, and it's this movie and the creators of this movie showing their support and kind of pushing that agenda right there, which ultimately, you know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate to see the MCU moving in this direction more and more increasingly. Like, it seems like it's so much more in Phase 4 of the MCU than it ever has been previously, which is, it stinks. And biblically speaking, all that stuff is an abomination. It's evil and it's wrong. And if you want to hear me go into more depth on that, I made an episode called LGBT and the Bible, or something along those lines. There's an episode on that where I go into more depth on that. Another thing here that I want to talk about, though, is the witchcraft, is the magic, is the Doctor Strange is a warlock and stuff, right? So there is kind of this weird distinction in this movie that they make where they're like, oh, there's like magic and then there's witchcraft. And so there's like the good magic and the bad magic and stuff. And okay, this movie, it's about witches and warlocks and stuff, right? You got Scarlet Witch, you got Doctor Strange, you know, you got all these kind of wizards and stuff. And so it's all about all this magic and all this kind of evil demonic stuff in the real world, because in the real world, It seems like in America, we kind of shy away from magic. We kind of shy away from the idea that magic is actually real, because it is actually real. The Bible talks about magic a lot of times. The Bible repeatedly warns us about magic and tells us to stay away from magic and tells us that magic is evil and terrible and we need to shy away and run away from this stuff and condemn magic. And yet, for some reason, in America, we, you know, because we're such a logical society or whatever, we're so logical, we know that magic's not real. We know that magic's not a big deal. We're more technological than magical or whatever, right? And that's kind of the thinking of the modern day American, whether they even necessarily think it or not. Because in America, we try to rationalize, we try to make everything about the physical, we try to make everything about the material and the person, and it's all just us here, people, and that's what's kind of driving forward, and less spiritual. We're not a very spiritual culture, I guess. Even though we're all spiritual, everybody is spiritual, that's 100% unavoidable, you know. So again, okay. I'm going to dive into some of these Bible verses here talking about witchcraft, and then I'll talk a little bit more about this movie specifically, because this movie is so full of witchcraft, and it's, okay, I'm going to talk about that first. This movie is so full of witchcraft, and watching it, it's like, okay, you know, I expected that. It's Doctor Strange, it's magic, it's wizards and all that kind of stuff, so it's like, I expected all that, but watching it, and it's like so kind of clear to me how it looks like they're kind of glorifying this evil. They're kind of glorifying this thing that is real and is very wrong and is very evil, and God calls an abomination in a verse that I'm going to read here in a couple minutes. And there's even like parallels in this movie to like channeling demonic activity of like using these evil beings for the good or for your good or for other people's good, supposedly, but you're ultimately channeling something evil, channeling something demonic in the real world. It would be the parallel there, and they got that going on in this movie, and it's like, man, you know, it's like this is our hero doing all this stuff in this movie. Revelations 21:18 puts practicing magic arts right in line with the murderers, right in line with the sexually immoral, right in line with idolaters. And it says that all these people, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So it is very damning, very damning. Revelations 21:18 for the practice of magic arts. In Ezekiel 13:20, the Lord God says, "Behold, I am against your magic bands with which you hunt the souls like birds." Magic hunting souls. In Leviticus 19:31, it says, "If you turn to mediums or spiritists, you will be defiled by them." In Exodus 22:18, "You shall not permit a sorceress to live." Like, this is the level of this crime. This is the severity of magic and sorcery and stuff, is that this is like the crime level. That's a crime worthy of the death penalty, is being a sorcerer or being a witch or something, or being like Doctor Strange or being like the Scarlet Witch or being like Wong or some of the other characters that are in this movie. They would deserve the death penalty based on the stuff that we see them and are rooting for them to do in this movie. Deuteronomy 18:9-11. "When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you." Three times in three verses, God says these are abomination, abomination, abomination. He's really pushing home the idea that these things, including, you know, sorcery, including mediums, including charmers, necromancers, all these things, abomination, abomination, abomination. He's really pushing that home. Almost every single one of these things that's listed here in this verse that I just read in Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12, almost every single one of these things is done in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Almost all of them by Doctor Strange as we are rooting for him. And it's mostly portrayed as this kind of okay or good thing in the context of the movie. And even in the more kind of questionable spells in the context of the movie, you know, the spells that's like, oh, maybe he shouldn't be doing that one or something, that one's skirting the line or whatever. Ultimately, they're deemed worth it when it really comes down to it because he's got to do it to save the day or whatever. And so even the darker, they're more obviously evil spells that he would do is viewed on as this kind of good, positive thing in the context of the movie. By the way, this is only a few verses on this topic. The Bible is chock full of verses talking about magic and how evil and terrible and awful it is, and it's an abomination, right? That is a big reason why I'm not a fan of magic in movies. I'm not a fan of magic in movies that is portrayed as good, because it is... When I look at it, I see the same thing as when I see, like, sex outside of marriage is portrayed as good. You know, when I watched the Bond movies, I reviewed all the Bond movies recently, and several times in those movies, I would talk about how, you know, they just portray this flippant attitude about, you know, sex and sex outside of marriage, and how he just sleeps with a million girls, and it's all, he doesn't care, and it's all, you know, cool and fun and stuff. And that's all evil. That's all wrong. And when I watch those movies, that is something that detracts from those movies for me, because I see that and I see something that is evil, something that is wrong being portrayed as good, something that is wrong being portrayed as positive. And then when I watch this movie, I see the same exact thing. I see all this evil, all this wrong that Doctor Strange is doing, and it's kind of promoting these ideas that this magic and sorcery is okay. And it's not a big deal. And even though, you know, you ask some of the creators behind this, some of them, you know, they'll probably say, you know, hey, you know, we, you know, even if they believe in magic or if they don't believe in magic or whatever, they'll say, you know, it's the fantastical version of magic. And that's what you hear a lot of Christians say when they talk about the magic and stuff. But this is a movie that, you know, you watch it and yeah, maybe it's the fantastical version of magic. You know, people aren't flying around doing superhero battles with the magic and stuff. But this is a superhero movie, first of all, which blows everything up. So even the little stuff that does connect to real life, they blow that kind of stuff up too. So this is, you know, okay, it's the superhero version of magic. It's the big crazy version of magic, but it's still magic, it's still sorcery, and it's still portrayed as such, and then they're saying that that's okay, and that's good, and it's a movie that is geared towards your family, to a certain extent, you know, like all the MCU movies are kind of more family movies, where you can watch them with some, a little bit younger and a little bit older, and, you know, everybody can enjoy them, and this is a movie that I don't really think you should bring your kids to, probably, like, when they're young, because this is a movie that very much promotes and supports magic and sorcery and stuff. And even if you watch it and you're like, okay, no, it's not, you know, you can still say, oh no, it's bad or whatever, but it still does plant the idea in your head, especially if you're not thinking about it and you're not aware of it. It plants the idea in your head that it's okay, like it's just not a big deal, even if you're like, oh, magic is bad and all this kind of stuff, but it's not a big deal, and it kind of lessens that idea in your head over time, and you watch more and more movies like this, and it lessens that idea of magic being evil, and kind of desensitizes you to the idea that this is something that is evil and wrong. And yeah, so I mean, I guess that's my view on magic. I always find it, I don't know, I find it kind of strange when Christians argue for magic in movies, because it's like, because it is so clearly evil. Like it's something that if you read the Bible, it's all over in the Bible talking about how evil magic is. And so it's like, you know, if you want to watch movies with magic in it, that's one thing. But fighting to say, oh no, magic is okay in movies, and magic being a good thing in movies, you know, that's fine. because it's the fake magic or it's the fantasy magic or whatever. You know, that's, I guess I don't understand that argument really, because I think ultimately it's promoting an idea that's very blatantly evil, you know? Again, because like I ended up watching all the Bond movies, even though those movies promoted the idea of sex outside of marriage is this fun, cool thing that's like, you know, just sleep with a million girls and that's awesome, you know? But ultimately that takes away from that movie for me. This takes away from this movie for me, because ultimately it's something, it is promoting something ultimately that is very evil, and something that I don't think young people should be watching a movie like this that promotes this kind of evil in this way.
I'm sorry, Stephen. Your desecration of reality will not go unpunished.
As I said earlier, the original Doctor Strange is one of my least favorite movies in the MCU. Now, I was going into this one very excited because it seemed like they were really kind of changing things up. They were like, with the blowing up the multiverse and everything, I think there's a lot of potential for that to be really cool. And honestly, that's probably my favorite aspect of this movie. I really enjoyed the exploration of the multiverse. We got some peeks into that previously in the Loki series, in Spider-Man No Way Home. We get to see some multiverse stuff going on. This one, it really blows it up. It's exploring the multiverse. And I loved going from multiverse to multiverse, universe to universe, seeing all the weird, different, interesting things that they were developing. Lots of cool, interesting Marvel lore added in this movie. And that kind of paves the way for a lot of really interesting visuals in this movie too. Because going from universe to universe, you can do weird, different things. Lots of crazy, weird visual flair to this movie that I very much enjoyed. The action sequences also absolutely awesome. Some of the action sequences are amazing. There's more of the wizard pushing magic at each other kind of action sequences, which is okay. I mean, again, this to a certain extent just goes back to the I don't like the wizards and witches and stuff in the movies. So it's like, okay, you know. So it's like, okay, fine. But there's also just some really inventive, interesting twists with action sequences in this that I think are extremely cool. Benedict Cumberbatch back as Doctor Strange, and he's really good. He's good in this. Honestly, I think I liked him better in Spider-Man No Way Home. I don't know. To a certain extent, I feel like we got a little bit more character depth with him in No Way Home. I don't know, maybe this is just me liking Spider-Man more, but but I think he's good here. He's better here than he was in the first movie. I think in the first movie he didn't quite rise up to what he could have been in the first movie. Here he's kind of in his stride, and he's kind of doing good Doctor Strange character, and he's kind of even keel with doing good Doctor Strange character work and stuff. There's not anything too outstanding, I would say, in here as far as the character work of Doctor Strange, but he's definitely a fun character. Scarlet Witch being in here, Elizabeth Olsen playing Wanda Maximoff, aka the Scarlet Witch. I liked her role in the movie. I think that we really could have gotten more with her. Like, I think that I would have loved to see some new ground covered with her character, but I really feel like they didn't cover any new ground with her character, and there was definitely opportunity for them to. So it's honestly a little bit of a disappointment just in that respect. That said, I liked what she was kind of doing in the movie overall. It does seem like you gotta watch WandaVision to watch this movie, though, just so you know. I'm not gonna spoil WandaVision. Maybe I'll spoil WandaVision when I get to the spoiler section of this movie. I'm not gonna spoil WandaVision, but it seems like they reference some things, like, very directly out of WandaVision, and don't really explain certain things that you would probably have to have seen WandaVision to kind of fully get what they're talking about and stuff. So I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. That's, it works for me because I watched WandaVision and I like that series and stuff. So I was like, okay, that worked for me. But ultimately, I find it interesting just because more people watch the movies than watch the TV shows, I would assume. And so it's, I don't know, I guess that's kind of a weird thing. Chiwetel Ejiofor coming back in here again as Mordo, and honestly interesting. Not a very big role in this movie. I expected him to have a bigger role in this movie, especially with the way that they set up the character in the previous movie. That said, he's pretty good in here. Benedict Wong in here as Wong. Fantastic, man. This guy, this character is so much fun. I wish we would get a little bit deeper into his character too. Maybe that's the issue with this movie a little bit, is that none of the characters feel super deep. They're all fun, they're all entertaining enough and stuff. They're all, you know, they're all fun. But none of it, this doesn't get way too deep into any of the characters like Spider-Man No Way Home did. Even with Doctor Strange in Spider-Man No Way Home, his interactions with Spider-Man, I think, you know, being really some great character work there. This one is not going to that level. It's a little bit more light. It's a little bit more fluffy, ultimately, than that movie. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but America Chavez is the character in here. A new character that comes in here. She's kind of... She has a big part in this movie, but honestly, I did not find her very interesting at all. She's fine, but that's just it. Like, she feels more like the MacGuffin of the movie, and she doesn't feel like a character to me. And so it's like, she, you know, potentially she could be interesting in the future in the movies or something, but right now, watching this movie, I'm just like, she came across as very flat to me, very uninteresting to me, and she has such like a big important part in this movie, but she was probably the least interesting character in this movie. So, Rachel McAdams back as Christine in here, Doctor Strange's love interest in here. And honestly, I kind of like what they did with her character as well. With Sam Raimi directing this movie, you can definitely see some of his style, some of his flair touches throughout this movie. He is known for directing horror movies, and this movie definitely has some of those vibes. I would never say this movie's scary. It's not like a horror movie. It's still very much the superhero kind of thing. But it has some of that horror movie tone to it, and it has some of those horror movie shots and weird creature, horror creature kind of stuff going on there that is pretty cool and very fitting for Doctor Strange, because Doctor Strange is this very kind of dark character that, you know, he's messing with the mystic arts, and so it's very kind of dark and twisted, and Sam Raimi does a good job at portraying that. And plus, even though some of the cinematography and stuff just felt like kind of Sam Raimi's work to me, like there was certain shots where the way the camera moved in on the character or some certain things, I'm like, that, now that feels like Sam Raimi kind of doing like a horror movie-ish kind of thing. It's like that feels like that, you know. There's a lot of fan service-y kind of stuff going on in this movie, and I enjoyed it for the most part. Like, I enjoyed watching it, but this stuff felt more fan service-y and less totally integral to the story. Again, comparing it to Spider-Man No Way Home, I keep comparing it, but that's like a obvious comparison because they're both multiverse kind of movies. Spider-Man No Way Home did the fan service-y stuff, but integrated it into the story so well that it just 100% works in the context of the story. And it doesn't, it's not like the movie is going, hey, look, fan, or isn't this thing cool? Yeah. And then moving on. It was like it introduced some fan service-y kind of stuff, and really it just integrated right into the story. This one, honestly, I felt some of those moments where it was like, hey, look, isn't this cool that we did this? You know? Oh, yeah. And then it just kind of moves on with the story. It's like some of that stuff didn't even necessarily need to be in the movie. The fact that it was in the movie and, you know, you see it, it's cool and it's fun, but it's not gonna stand up as well on repeat viewings with that kind of mentality taken towards this fan service-y kind of stuff, ultimately. Because on repeat viewings, you already know the surprises, you already know the fun, you've already kind of had the fun out of those moments, and so when those moments come back up again, it's not going to be as fun, because it's not going to be as surprising and stuff, and so it's I don't know, to me, it takes those moments down a little bit, and it's I love the fan service-y stuff, but the best way to do it is to really integrate it into the story. And again, I thought like Spider-Man No Way Home did that really well. This movie has some of that, but it doesn't do it quite as well, in my opinion. Also, something to note, this is probably the most violent MCU movie that I've ever seen. Like, what in the world? Oh my goodness. It's it's still like PG-13 level, but it is pushing that PG-13 to the top edge of PG-13 violence, so just so you know. Overall, I really enjoyed this movie, though. This is definitely a huge improvement over the first movie. That said, this is a mid-tier MCU movie. It's fun, it's enjoyable, but there's definitely some of those things. I wish the character depth they would go a little bit deeper in this movie. I wish that they would scale back on all the witchcraft and stuff that's in this movie, but that's just very much in the nature of this movie, so they can't really do that, I guess, for Doctor Strange. And ultimately, this is a pretty fun movie. This is a good MCU movie, but a mid-tier MCU movie.
Things just got out of hand.
Break the rules.
Look out!
And become a hero. I do it. I become the enemy. It doesn't seem fair.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is rated PG-13 for intense sequences of violence and action, frightening images, and some language. I would give it a 4 out of 5 on the enjoyability scale.
Strange!
Alright, it's spoiler time. I'm gonna spoil Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and I'll probably spoil WandaVision while I'm at it, so you have been warned. Spoiler warning, let's go. So this movie opens with Doctor Strange going someplace that at first I thought it was a funeral. Like, he's like dressed in all black, and it seems like there's some other people dressed in all black, and so I was like, oh, okay, he is going to a funeral. Who died? It turns out it's a wedding, actually. Christine, aka Rachel McAdams there, is getting married to somebody else. Evidently, it didn't work out for Doctor Strange and Christine here. Interesting, actually. Like, honestly, I kind of like that this explanation, because of all of the superheroes and their love interests, it seems like we have seen the least of Christine here. Like, have we even seen her since the first Doctor Strange movie? And then he's been in so many other movies and stuff, and she just never even showed up. And it's kind of like, you know, where is she? What's going on with her? And then it's answered here in that, like, it didn't really work out. They separated, and then now she's together, you know, she's getting married to this other guy. So I was like, oh, okay. it kind of makes sense, and I kind of like that they just went ahead and went that direction with it, because it seems like they really weren't doing anything with her character at this point anyway, you know? So I was like, okay. Something I didn't really expect here. Scarlet Witch is the villain of the movie, just straight up. I didn't really see that coming, because I thought Scarlet Witch was going to be like, oh yeah, she's a good guy, but then she's kind of on the edge right now or something, you know. That's kind of more what I was thinking. No, Scarlet Witch is just straight up, she's the villain of this movie, which is interesting, and I think her motivation is interesting. You know, she wants to get her family back together, her family that was established in WandaVision, by the way, and then they don't even really like they hardly discuss the whole thing that her children were fake and everything. Like, her children were never real in this universe. They just kind of briefly mention it, and if you didn't watch WandaVision, you would probably just be like, what in the world? What? So I think that's an interesting position, an interesting character for Scarlet Witch, you know, an interesting line for her to be going down. That said, I don't think this is anything new. We've explored pretty much all this kind of stuff in WandaVision previously, and so it's like, it doesn't seem like they broke too much new ground past what they already did in WandaVision, which, so that's kind of unfortunate. I mean, she already tried to get her family back in WandaVision. She brought her kids to life, supposedly. She brought Vision back to life and all this kind of stuff, and so it's like, they already explored this territory with her character. Now it seems like we're kind of retreading the same ground to a certain extent, even though I think Scarlet Witch perfectly, you know, can kind of switch back and forth between being in the role of the hero or being in the role of the villain, you know. So it's like that totally works for me. It doesn't seem like we're treading any new ground in this movie, so I wish they either did some different things with her character while she's being the villain, or just have her be start to be a good guy again or something. I don't know. Anyway, question: why was she not also dreaming of a universe with Vision in it? Why does that make any sense? In WandaVision, she brought her kids to life, but she also brought back Vision and stuff. So there's that, you know, so she's already tried that with Vision. Why is she not going to a different universe where there's Vision there too? Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense at all, right? Wouldn't she want to go over to the other universe where her family can be complete, and not just the kids, but the kids and the father too, Vision, you know? So it's like, I don't know. Very weird. She obviously loves Vision, as established earlier, but just, not in this movie for some reason. I don't know. I found that very strange. At the end of the movie, supposedly she dies. So she's in the temple. It just like falls on her and supposedly she's dead. I didn't see a body, so I'm assuming she's not dead. I'm assuming she will come back. That said, if she's dead, it's kind of a kerplunk ending for her, honestly. Like, I didn't, like a little bit disappointing of an ending. I would have liked something stronger with her if this is actually her final movie. That said, I tend to think it's not. I tend to think that this was a way to, you know, kill off the villain of this movie, but still have her be able to continue forward. You know, she can go hide somewhere and she can pop up in a different movie later on or in a WandaVision season 2 or something. I don't know. I tend to think she's not dead because, again, we didn't see a body, so she's not dead. This is a comic book movie. That's how it works. Interesting to note that they said that, hey, this is Earth 616. Like, the MCU is Earth 616 and, you know, these are the other Earths, which, okay, a couple interesting notes about calling out the MCU as Earth 616. If you don't know, Earth 616 is the universe of the comics. The comic book universe is Earth 616, and that's all them, and then every other one has some other assigned number that is their universe, essentially. A couple things with that. Theoretically, the comic book universe and the movie universe are in the same multiverse, and so they wouldn't both be Earth 616. One, the comic book universe would be Earth 616, the movie universe would be Earth 616721 or something. I don't know. Something else. Like that doesn't make sense in that respect, but I get it. You know, you want to make the comic book fans happy by calling out that number. Cool, I get it. So ultimately, I'm fine with that. That doesn't matter at all. But I just noticed that, and I'm like, hey, you know, that doesn't actually make sense if assuming the comic book universe is in the same multiverse, which I would assume it is because it's the multiverse and everything exists, right? So supposedly, that's where we're at then, right? Also, Mysterio, who claimed to be a multiverse traveler, he came in and he said, this is Earth 616. But then it turned out he was just making stuff up as he went along. Like, he was just made it all up. So how did he know this was Earth 616? That didn't make any sense. again, it's throwing something in there for the fans, and then the fact that, oh, it turns out he was right, even though it was totally random. Pretty convenient there, but okay, I get you. Okay. They go over to the alternate universe, the main other alternate universe that they go to, red is stop and green is go, red is go, green is stop. That's kind of just a fun little thing thrown in there. I liked seeing all the different elements, the MCU all kind of thrown together in here. This is like what if type territory going on in here. If you watched the What If series, this is very much tying in some of that kind of stuff going on in here. Very fun. It was fun seeing Ultron in here as a working force for good, supposedly. Ultron in here being a force that protects the Illuminati is what they call them, which is kind of this universe's version of the Avengers, I guess. So let's get into all those. So we got the Illuminati, we got Mordo, which is like the only time Mordo even shows up in this movie. So the real Mordo doesn't even really show up. It's just this alternate version of Mordo. So there you go. Okay. But then you have all the other ones. Then you have all this fan service stuff start hitting. And some of this stuff is pretty cool. I mean, Mr. Fantastic showing up, and it's John Krasinski, who is kind of the fan casting of Mr. Fantastic. Really cool. Like, when he showed up, it's like, oh, that's fun, that's cool. But then also my question is, does that mean he's gonna be playing Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movie that they announced for the MCU? Or does that mean that this is just some alternate version where they can do the fan casting and then they're gonna cast whoever they really want to cast? Because honestly, I'm totally down for John Krasinski playing Mr. Fantastic. I think he fits that role really well, and the little bit we get of him in this movie is pretty cool. It's pretty fun. So it's like, if they could have him and Emily Blunt, even though she said she doesn't want to be in any of the superhero movies, but they're married in real life, and have them be married in the comic book Super Marvel life too, I mean, that'll be pretty cool too, because that's the other fan casting that everybody wants. They mentioned the Baxter Foundation earlier on in that universe, and I was like, oh, cool, you know, that's kind of a cool reference, and I didn't expect Mr. Fantastic to actually show up, so very cool. And then he references his wife and his children, which is also cool, because it's like, that's the Fantastic Four I want to see. In the future, in the MCU, when they make the Fantastic Four movie, I want to see the Baxter Foundation. I want to see the Mr. and Mrs. Fantastic, them actually married with their kids and training their kids and all this kind of stuff. Like, that's the Fantastic Four that I want to see. That would be something that would separate it from the previous Fantastic Four movies and separate it from any of the other MCU movies pretty dramatically, and also be very fitting to what those comic, what those characters are in the comic books. And so that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping John Krasinski, this isn't just a one-off little thing, that he is Mr. Fantastic moving forward. But at this point, I don't know. I could see that really going either way. Captain Carter showing up in here. She first showed up in What If, by the way, so that is totally something kind of pulled out of What If there. But what if, you know, Captain Carter, played by Haley Atwell, was Captain America? That's a fun little thing. You got Black Bolt, played by the same guy who played Black Bolt in the Inhumans TV series. Really interesting. Okay. I like Black Bolt. I think he's the coolest Inhuman by far. And so Black Bolt's a really interesting character. That Inhumans TV series wasn't that great, and it seems like they're kind of ignoring it for the MCU, but suddenly now he's in there, so it's like, okay, wait, are they not ignoring it? Like, did that Inhumans TV series actually take place in the MCU? Like, I kind of thought they were just going to completely ignore that thing and just say, it was a mess, push that thing off to the side, because that seemed like what they were doing. But then suddenly he's in here, and so it's like, oh, interesting. They could just say, oh, all that TV series took place in that universe or something, you know? I was like, okay, I don't know. Interesting. Ms. Marvel showing up in here, but instead of Carol Danvers, it's her friend Monica Rambeau, who is her best friend in the Ms. Marvel movie. Okay, cool. Professor X, oh my goodness, Professor X, Patrick Stewart as Professor X rolls up in his floating flying chair, the animated series theme song starts playing when he comes in, and he's doing that, like, whoa, crazy. I wish this wasn't leaked beforehand, because I heard this, and, you know, people were talking about, oh man, Professor X is in this movie and stuff. This is like, I heard about it beforehand, and so I was like, I wasn't sure if it was legit or not, but when he showed up on screen, I wasn't, like, shocked, because I heard about it already from the rumors and stuff. That said, a really cool cameo, really cool moment, and the fact that they play the old, like, 90s animated show theme when he comes in is awesome. That's awesome. And then him going and kind of having a mind battle with Wanda, really cool. Really cool. Okay, then Wanda comes in and just annihilates these people, like, showing how insanely powerful the Scarlet Witch is, but her powers are just kind of on this weird sliding scale. Most of the time people say a sliding scale in a bad way, like Superman's powers are on a sliding scale. Sometimes this guy hits him and he goes down, and sometimes not. But Wanda's are on a sliding scale because her, like, mentalness is on a sliding scale a little bit. she's a little bit unhinged, and she has immense crazy power, but she doesn't always know how to use the immense crazy power that she does have. Here, she uses it to just annihilate these guys, and yeah, pretty cool. But again, this is a moment where they took a lot of time to introduce all these new characters into this movie, this new Mr. Fantastic character, Captain Carter, this Black Bolt who hasn't been in any of the movies before, Professor X who hasn't been in any of the MCU movies before, you know, like they kind of took a lot of time to kind of show you and introduce all these characters, and it was fun and it was exciting, and people in the theater were freaking out when it happened, you know, and so it was all great. But that said, now that we know all these things, this is not something that is going to, the hype of this is not going to last in the same way that the hype of some of the characters from the older Spider-Man movies coming into No Way Home lasts in that movie, because the way they did that is integral to the story, whereas this one, some of this introducing all these people, while fun and while cool, it also feels like it's something that they're almost pausing the movie to introduce all these things in order to have these cool fan service-y kind of moments, and then Wanda comes in, kills them all, and they keep moving, you know? And then I guess it goes to show how far Wanda's gone and stuff, and so it's like, you know, okay, you know, they tie it into the movie, but it's it doesn't feel as tied in, as integral as, again, something like in Spider-Man No Way Home. All right, the zombie Doctor Strange. Okay, so there's the dead Doctor Strange that comes over, he buries him, and then when he's gonna transfer his mind into the body of a different Doctor Strange, he goes into the dead Doctor Strange, rises the dead. So here we got the speaking of the dead and necromancy and stuff that the Bible's talking about as evil, so there you go. So he raises up the other Doctor Strange, and he's going off to, you know, which I thought was kind of clever. Like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, they're, you know, it's like, how is he going to do this? There's no Doctor Strange in that universe. And he's like, no, I could do this one. And it's kind of all this jacked up, and he's harder to control and everything. And so it's like, oh, okay, you know, this is kind of a cool, interesting take on this. And then they have like this big like speech where he's talking about how, you know, you need to be yourself or whatever he's saying to America there. And it's like, oh, we're trying to do the sentimental stuff with the zombie Doctor Strange. Like, that to me, that just didn't really work. You know, it's like they should have done the sentimental stuff with the real Doctor Strange and done the weird gross stuff with the zombie Doctor Strange. That's my thought process on that. Also, he has the, you know, use the demons for your own gain, for your own use kind of thing, where all these things are attacking him, and then he controls the demons for his own use, and then it ultimately causes him to have an eyeball on his head later on, using the Darkhold and all that kind of stuff, and then using the demons. And so it's like it has these consequences afterwards, but it's ultimately it's something that it's like, it's ultimately it's an okay thing. It's a good thing for Doctor Strange to be doing this. And it's like, okay, so it's kind of pushing the idea that this messing with the demonic and stuff is a good idea, you know, or is an okay thing if you're using it for the right purposes. And again, that's not good. That's not right. The ending of the movie, I didn't like the last shot where he's like, he runs out and he like, and the eyeball on his forehead opens up. And it just, to me, it almost felt like a cheap horror movie ending. You know, those horror movies where you watch it and it's like, okay, they wrapped everything up, but cause they got to leave you with a scare. They, you know, the demon pops out one last time and is like, boo, or something. It's like, oh, you know. It to me, it almost felt like a cheap horror movie scare where it was like thrown in at the end of him just going, and then the eyeball pops open or something. It maybe if that happened during the after credits scene, it would have been okay or something. Or I don't know, just it just happening there at the end of the movie, I was just kind of like, okay. It felt just kind of like this cheap jump scary kind of thing that was like, I don't like it when horror movies end that way, and I didn't really like it when Doctor Strange ended that way. So let's talk about the after credit scenes here then. Charlize Theron comes out of a portal and is Clea, and she's like, hey, you like broke space-time or something, you want to come fix it? And he's like, sure. And he opens an eyeball in the forehead and he jumps in the portal. Okay, first off, I don't really know much about Clea, this character. I think she's a love interest type character for Doctor Strange. I think they might have gotten married in the comics. Don't quote me on that, but I think that may have happened. Charlize Theron planner, okay. I can't say I'm the biggest Charlize Theron fan. I think she's good in some stuff, but sometimes I don't know. I don't always like her in movies and stuff. So the fact that it's her, okay. But ultimately, this after credit scene, okay, you know, if I was a bigger fan of the Doctor Strange comics and stuff and I knew who these characters were, that would probably have been cooler. But I watched it and I was like, all right, okay. And then the second after credit scene, oh yeah, Bruce Campbell cameo. He had a cameo earlier as a pizza guy and he made him slap himself a million times or something. And then he's like still hitting himself, and then he's like, oh, and it stops, and he's like, it's over, and he looks directly in the camera and says, it's over, you know. And okay, that's fine, you know, that's kind of a funny little thing, you know, we all laughed in the theater, ha ha ha, okay. But I swear there was multiple moments in this movie that people would look directly into the camera and say stuff. Doctor Strange did it. I think America did it. And Bruce Campbell does it here at the end of this movie. They look directly into the camera and they'll say something. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Why are we looking directly into the camera? This is so weird. If it was just at the end, you know, and it was just the joke or something, but I don't know, it was a few times in the movie where it happened. I'm just like, why? It's so weird. I don't know. I guess I'm not used to movies where a character just looks directly in the camera and says something, almost seemingly talking to you, you know? It's like, I don't know, very weird. What did you think of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness? Let me know, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com. That's it for this time. Until next time, this is David of the Helix Reviews Podcast signing out. Bye-bye, guys.